We're going to start in John chapter 17. Jesus, just before his death, offers a prayer. And in that, he states in John 17, we're going to start at verse 13. But I now come to you, and these things I speak in the world, so that they may have joy made full in themselves. I have given them your word. And the world has hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I do not ask that you take them out of the world, but to keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them in truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I have also sent them into the world. For their sakes I sanctify myself, that they may themselves also may be sanctified in truth. I do not ask on behalf of these alone, but for those who believed in me through their word, that they may all be one, even as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be in us, and that the world may believe that you sent me. The glory which you have given me, I have given them, that they may be one, just as we are one. I am in them, and you in me, that we may be perfected in unity, so that the world may know that you sent me, and love them, even as you have loved me. Father, I desire that they also, whom you have given me, may be with me where I am, so that they may see my glory, which you have given me, for you loved me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, although the world has not known you, yet I have known you, and have known that you have sent me, and I have made your name known to them, and will make it known, so that the love which you love me may be in them, and I in them. It is Jesus' desire, has always been his desire, that his disciples would be one in the share, basically the same oneness that he and the Father share. It is a oneness based in love. And if we're committed to Christ's ideal, then the multitude of ways in which we divide would just dissolve away. If we're focused on being one with God and with Christ, and that we have the love that Christ wants us to have, the world wouldn't see divisions in the church. Our citizenship, as we were talking about in our class this morning, is in heaven. It is a nation whose beliefs and practices run counter to those who are focused on this world. In fact, in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 17. Brethren, join in following my example and observe those who walk according to the pattern you have in us. For many walk, of whom I often told you and now tell you even weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their appetite, and whose glory is their shame, who set their mind on earthly things. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we eagerly await for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform the body of our humble state into the conformity with the body of his glory by the exertion of the power which he has even to subject all things to himself. All things belong to Christ. And that's you and I, as well as everyone that else calls them upon Christ. But actually, all things in this world belong to him. Christ wants us to be one. In that idea, he gives us all an equal opportunity to follow him. God wants everyone saved. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, and in verse 4, we'll start with verse 3. This is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. That's God's desire. He wants everyone saved. Ideally, no one would then perish. In fact, in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9, it says, "The Lord is not slow about his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing for anyone to perish, but for all to come to repentance." This is what God wants. Fortunately, God doesn't get what he wants because he gave us free will. And there are people who rebel against God. But we who love God ought to desire the same thing, that everyone has a chance to become saved. Now, all the way back when God called Abraham, and he gave him a promise in Genesis chapter 12, Genesis 12 and verse 3, he told Abraham, "I will bless those who bless you, then the one who curses you I will curse, and in you all the families of the earth will be blessed." He's not talking about just the Jews. Through Abraham, everyone would be blessed. That was God's aim always. And God indicates that because of that, no one is common or unholy. In fact, Paul makes that, or Peter, I should say, makes that point in Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10 and verse 28. "And he said to them, 'You yourselves know how unlawful it is for a man who is a Jew to associate with a foreigner or to visit him. Yet God has shown me that I should not call any man unholy or unclean.'" The Jews got to the point where they isolated themselves from everyone else, because we're the ones who are saved. We're the ones who are special. And it wouldn't have anything to do with the rest of the world. God's aim, though, is to save the rest of the world. No one is unholy. No one is beyond saving. Everyone is special in God's sight. And for that, then, everyone is treated equally. Because, as was mentioned in the scripture reading, there is no partiality with God. Going again to Acts chapter 10, verse 34. "Opening his mouth, Peter said, 'I most certainly understand now that God is not one to show partiality. But in every nation, the man who fears him and does what is right is welcome to him.'" Whether we're acceptable to God or unacceptable is based on our personal choices and our actions. But we're all treated exactly the same. He doesn't give some people passes. He doesn't overlook some people's crimes. Nor does he make it harder for some. We're all seen to be the same. In James chapter 2. James chapter 2 and verse 8. James makes a point based on that same idea. He says, "However, if you are fulfilling the royal law according to the scriptures, 'You shall love your neighbor as yourself,' you're doing well. But if you show partiality, you are committing sin and are convicted by the law as transgressors." Showing partiality is a sin. It's violating the command to love your neighbor as yourself. We're to treat everyone here and anyone we meet equally based on what they do. Your ethnicity, your economic status, your gender does not change how you are treated. In fact, take a look at Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3 and in verse 28. "There is neither Jew nor Greek. there is neither slave nor free man. There is neither male nor female, for you're all one in Christ Jesus. And so when we become Christians, we are baptized into one body. We talked about the universal church. We are united together to serve Christ. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and in verse 13, for by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, we were all made to drink of one Spirit. And so we all have the same opportunities. We all have the same treatment. And that leads us to the idea then that we should be without division. Jesus broke down that barrier between Jews and Gentiles that the Jews had erected over the years. In Ephesians chapter 2 and in verse 11, Ephesians 2 and verse 11, therefore remember that formerly you, the Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by the so-called circumcision, which is performed in the flesh by human hands, remember that you were at that time separated from Christ, excluded from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were formerly afar off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who made both groups into one, broke down the barrier of the dividing wall, by abolishing in his flesh the enmity, which is the law of commandments, contained in ordinances, so that in himself he might make the two into one new man, thus establishing peace, and might reconcile them both into one body to God through the cross, by it having put to death the enmity. And he came and preached peace to you who are far away, and peace to those who are near. For through him we both have our access to one Spirit, to the Father. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and are of God's household, having been built on the foundations of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole building, being fitted together, is growing into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you have been built together into a dwelling of God in the Spirit. We work together, we live together, and there is to be no division. Can you imagine building a house that didn't get along with, the various pieces didn't get along with it? It wouldn't stand. It'd fall down. We, as God's people, are told that we are to get along with each other. Separating them from brethren is condemned when that separation is not based on their actions. And we're not talking about somebody who's gone off into the world and sinning, but separating somebody because they just don't like each other. Well, get to like each other. In Galatians chapter 2, Galatians chapter 2 and verse 11, but when Cephas came to Antioch, I opposed him to his face, because he stood condemned. For prior to the coming of certain men from James, he used to eat with the Gentiles. But when they came, he began to withdraw and withhold himself aloof, fearing the party of the circumcision. And the rest of the Jews joined him in hypocrisy, with the result that even Barnabas was carried away by their hypocrisy. But when I saw that they were not straightforward about the truth of the gospel, I said to Cephas in the presence of all, if you, being like a Jew, live like the Gentiles and not like the Jews, how is it that you compel the Gentiles to live like Jews? They were separating themselves. They were dividing. They wouldn't even eat with each other. As if one group was special and the other one wasn't. But not only are we to have equal opportunity, there's equal treatment, We're not to be without division, but we also have equal requirements by God. Salvation is for everyone who believes. In Romans chapter 1, in verse 16, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greeks." Jews and Gentiles then are justified by faith. Going to chapter 3 and verse 28, "For we maintain that a man is justified by faith apart from the works of the law. Is God the God of the Jews only? Is he not the God of the Gentiles also? Yes, of the Gentiles also, since indeed God will justify the circumcised by faith, and the uncircumcised through faith is one." God is not a God of just one group of people in this world. He is all. He is our God for everyone. And he calls on all of us to repent. Going to Acts chapter 17. Acts 17 and verse 30. "Therefore, having overlooked the times of ignorance, God is now declaring to men that all people everywhere should repent." And that message was declared to all the nations. That's what Jesus sent the apostles to do. In Luke chapter 24, Luke 24, and in verse 47, "And that repentance for forgiveness of sins would be proclaimed in his name to all the nations, beginning from Jerusalem." Not only does it go out to all nations, it really doesn't matter what your past was. You know, sometimes we have difficulties talking to certain people. We look at them and say, "Oh, well, they're not going to listen anyway," and we don't even try. But one's past doesn't matter. Take a look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 9. "Or do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor homosexuals, nor thieves, nor the covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. Such were some of you. But you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and in the Spirit of our God." There were some people in Corinth that were guilty of some serious crimes. But they were washed. They were changed. They became set apart for God. And as Christ commanded at his end in Matthew chapter 28, Matthew 28, and in verse 19, he says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit." No one's left out. See, God is impartial. He doesn't favor one group over another. In fact, Paul's point in Romans chapter 2 and verse 11. Romans chapter 2 and in verse 11 says, "For there is no partiality with God." God doesn't favor the Jews over the Greeks. He doesn't favor the Greeks over the Jews. He doesn't favor Americans over Frenchmen. It doesn't matter to God. Now, you hear people always talking about, well, we need to be more inclusive. The Lord's church is the true inclusive organization. There are boundaries, we have to understand. It's based on individuals' choices as far as whether they're going to obey God or not. Either we become united with him and with each other, or you end up dying separated from the life that is in Christ. Now that choice is yours and is offered to everyone. I want you to think about which are you going to choose? Because God wants everyone saved, and that includes you. I hope you'll think about those things. If there's anyone here who's not yet a child of God, there's no better time than right now to put on Christ. And for those of you who are children of God, would like to pray as your brother on behalf. Why don't you come forward as we stand and sing the song that was selected.